Madam Speaker, a lot has been said about the agricultural sector, even by those on the opposite side. And in the interest of time, I'm not going to repeat myself, because I'm sure every member in this Honorable House would agree that the type of compliments that have been extended to the accomplishments of the agricultural sector is well recorded. But I want to set the framework under which my ministry was able to realize these accomplishments. And I'm sure we will agree that under the present global financial situation, the world food and energy crisis, the removal, and in fact, the member for Beaufort North spoke about it, the removal of preferential treatment and trade agreements, and the difficulty that we have had in accessing funding for the agricultural sector, despite all this, Madam Speaker, we were able to accomplish growth. Growth that we have not realized in decades. And Madam Speaker, whilst we have heard your position discussing issues, whilst you have heard the opposition criticizing the performance of this government, I'm sure, Madam Speaker, and in fact, he left, because whenever I'm addressing this house, Madam Speaker, I think it seems to be a trend that the leader of the opposition always leaves. But I'm sure, Madam Speaker, that in this present financial situation that we are faced with, none of them would want to be on this side of the house. None of them. And in fact, in the presentation by the leader of the opposition, he alluded to this. But I want to say, Madam Speaker, that the estimate presented by the Minister of Finance for the financial year 2009-2010 shows that we are a government that understands the global financial situation, and we are a government that cares. And that is why we are calling for belt tightening measures, and that is why the budget as presented paved the way for a number of projects and changes that will create that belt tightening measures. I want to say that we would not make the mistake that was made by the St. Lucia Labour Party when they were in government. And one of the mistakes that we have promised, Madam Speaker, not to make is to neglect the agricultural sector. And that is why this administration has started to build back this much needed sector, because we believe and we know that the agricultural sector can only return to the benefit of our rural communities. And if you look at the records for 2007, and 2008, Madam Speaker, it is clear that this government has instituted policies and programs that has generated the type of development, that has generated the type of growth that we want to realize in this country. I recall last year, when you look at the economic review for 2007, you saw growth. And this year, Madam Speaker, this year, we also realizing growth. We also realizing growth. The member for Beaufort North, the members of Beaufort North said that they inherited an industry that started declining in 1996-1997. Am I right in that? The agricultural sector, the banana industry, 1996-1997. He said I'm correct. But the question is, Madam Speaker, who was providing the leadership around that time? And the person that was providing the leadership at that time, where is he now? Where is he now? I don't know. I'm asking a question. So it clearly shows that, Madam Speaker. It clearly shows that the type of individuals that can be associated with lack of progress. Madam Speaker, I'm reading on from page 41, the economic review of 2008. Page 41, agriculture. And I recall when we were preparing our estimates for 2008-2009, I was given a challenge. I was given a challenge, Madam Speaker, that I and my ministry should grow the agricultural sector. Our growth should be 10%. We should realize for that year a growth of 10%. And I did not challenge this. I embrace it, Madam Speaker, and I'm sure I will show you the results. But before I do this, let's look at the performance of the St. Lucia Labour Party from 2001 to 2006. And I'm reading from 41. Page 41. In 2001, Madam Speaker, growth in the agricultural sector was about minus 25%. In 2002, Madam Speaker, growth in the agricultural sector was about 3%. In 2003, it went down again to minus 15%. In 2004, minus 3%. In 2005, minus 25%. Yes, in 2009. Yes, in 2009, member for Beaufort North, you realize on 9.7%. 2006, sorry, 9.7%. But what we realized when we came in 2007, even after Hurricane Dean, Madam Speaker, even after Hurricane Dean, we still realize a positive growth in the agricultural sector. 3.3%. After hurricane. And in 2008, we realized a growth, and they have said it, of 20.5%. A growth of 20.5% in the agricultural sector. Never in the history of in recent years, I don't know for the last 20 years before my time, but never in the history that we have realized a growth of 20.5% in the agricultural sector. So, Madam Speaker, when I am reporting to this Honorable House, and I'm saying to this Honorable House that we are a government that understands and appreciates the impact of agriculture to the development of this country, we are demonstrating it by the policies and the programs that we're implementing. And I must say that I'm a bit surprised, but at least he showed a level of maturity for complementing the progress that we have done thus far. But Madam Speaker, the reason why I agreed to give him another hour, because I wanted to hear from him the recommendation among all these accomplishments, what he would have done to achieve even more growth. That's what I wanted to hear. But what I heard was questions upon questions upon questions. No recommendation. I'll try, Madam Speaker, to deal with some of these questions as I go by. One of the questions he asked was, and he quoted me, saying how I promised to reduce imports and increase local production. But he quoted a figure in money value. In money value. But he never quoted a figure in actual tonnage. He never quoted a figure in actual tonnage, Madam Speaker. You know why? Because things are more expensive. Things are more expensive. But let's look at the actual tonnages. Food imported in 2006. And this is in 2006. 86,728 tons. Food import for 2006, Madam Speaker, 86,728 tons. It went down in 2007. Our food import bill, our food import went down in 2007 to 65,802 tons. And in 2008, it went down again to 56,264 tons. It reduced from 2006 to 2008 by 45%. Our exports, Madam Speaker, our exports. In 2006, they exported 1,427 tons. In 2008, we exported 2,396 tons. A growth. With 2007, 2014. That is the information. These are the accomplishments, Madam Speaker. He didn't see the code this. He didn't see the code this. He went and quote what he wanted. He went and quote what he wanted. You know?
Madam Speaker,
with regards to growth for 2008, with regards to the subsectors, livestock 12%, non-traditional 21.3%, fisheries 11%, bananas 30%. Growth, growth, and more growth. But we can come here and play with figures. We can come here and report what is not true. Madam Speaker, I heard he quoted me with regards to my programs. With regards to my programs, he articulated all the programs I came in this house and I said that I would want to do for the year under review. But what I expected to hear from him, Madam Speaker, is how many of these programs that I was not able to accomplish. How many of these programs I was not able to accomplish? And the only one I can report in this honorable house that I was not able to accomplish with any level of satisfaction, Madam Speaker, is the new marketing entity. That's the only program that I was not able to accomplish with any level of satisfaction as an individual is the new marketing entity. But all the other programs he spoke about, they were accomplished. All. And with regards to the solution marketing board and new marketing entity, Madam Speaker, what we have done as a government is that we have reviewed the policy with regards to import duty on goods and products that we can produce in St. Lucia. And we have discontinued that policy. A policy implemented by the St. Lucia Labour Party. But for now, based on our review, based on our discussions, Madam Speaker, we're looking at two options with regards to a new entity. The first option is a question of a partial privatization of management, where we would want to retain the assets of the Solution Marketing Board and privatize management. The other option that we're looking at is a full privatization of the Solution Marketing Board. Now, of course, I'm sure we would agree, based on past experiences, Madam Speaker, full privatization is not an option that we want to give due consideration. Because now, you ask the question, what happened to the banana industry? And you are paying for that policy. That full privatization of the banana industry, you are paying for it. But my Prime Minister has reported in his budget address as to what we intend to do and what we have done with regard to the Solution Marketing Board. And hopefully, by May of this year, the committee that was set up should be submitting a report to the ministry with regard to the pros and cons of these two options. But notwithstanding this, Madam Speaker, my ministry has gone ahead and start the groundwork with regards to a new infrastructure. We have identified an engineer, and the engineer is now developing a design and costing where we shall locate the new marketing board in Austin, because we are under a lot of pressure, even from the Ministry of Housing, with regards to that location where the marketing board is right now. So we are going to relocate the Solution Marketing Board in Otsa, next to the IRDC. And not only Solution Marketing Board, but it's my dream. It's my dream, my vision, to see to it that we have a farmer's mall down there. So that new design would take on a new infrastructure for the solution marketing bond, and of course, a farmer's mall. Madam Speaker, the banana industry. And I describe the banana industry as an industry that never sleeps. You know why? Because of the wrong decision taken by the then government. Madam Speaker, there was a news release from the Tunisian Labour Party that speaks to some meetings. And the news release, a press release, said that they had meetings in the Mabia Valley, is that true? And they had meetings in Gozili. The Mabia Valley and Gozili. And went on to say that the farmers that were there, their concerns was that we promised them input in our manifesto, and we never kept to our promise. And they said the farmers in Mabia Valley made that announcement, and also the banana farmers in Grozili. So, member for Grozili, I want you to take me to the banana farmers' farm in Grozili. Yes, I don't know what the member to take me there. But, also it's true, the news release came out. The news release came out. The news release came out. Madam Speaker, never in the history of St. Lucia that our banana farmers are getting so much support with regards to input. Never. If the press release had spoken about farm roads, I would have agreed. And I would not be suspicious of that press release. But the next half, the press release spoke about fertilizer, and also the farmers in Grozilo spoke about fertilizer. I was suspicious about that press release. But we all know that we have financed to the amount of $14 million since we have been in office, Madam Speaker, with regards to input support to our farmers. $14 million. Post then, we have $12.6 million with regards to input. And just recently, Madam Speaker, just recently, we assisted our farmers in the reduction of fertilizer. And why is that? Let me make an observation there, Madam Speaker. They agreed to work with the National Fair Trade, Madam Speaker, because when we did our investigation, realized that the price of fertilizer was about $140 a bag. And we brought in the National Fair Trade executives, and we told them that we will give financial support to reducing the price of fertilizer from $140 a bag to $75 a bag. And we also agreed that we would provide that financial support for two batches of fertilizer, or two rounds of fertilizer. In addition to this, we said that the fertilizer should not be only sold to banana farmers, but should be sold to any farmer that would like to purchase fertilizer. And that was the agreement. But in everything, Madam Speaker, you make mistakes. And I must say, I was not happy with the type of feedback that I was getting with regards to farmers who were outside of certain fair trade groups not being able to get fertilizer. I was not happy about that. I spoke to the executive about it, and I expressed my dissatisfaction with regards to this. But let me tell you this, Madam Speaker. We are looking at ways and means of making some significant changes with regards to the bioenergy industry. Based on discussions we have had with Rudeco, Rudeco has advised that they would be in a position to purchase much more of our production, much more of our production between the months of January to June. So what this means, Madam Speaker, is that we need to sit down and come up with a program where we can reschedule production, and we have done that. We have a 3-year program, and the Bayana Production Management Unit is responsible for that program, along with the stakeholders, with DECO, the National Fair Trade Organization, and all the other stakeholders in the Bayana industry, where we're going to reschedule our production over a 3-year period. In the first year, starting next month, we are going to rehabilitate 2,000 acres. By so doing, Madam Speaker, this will enable us to have at least 60-70% of our production at a time when Rudeco is asking for it. But this program, of course, has many challenges. Challenges with regards to irrigation. Challenges with regards to drainage, especially in our valleys. Challenges with regards to farmers' improvement, reliable supply of inputs, labor, Madam Speaker, labor, and of course, the financial requirements for our farmers. Honorable members, whilst I refer to these challenges with regards to the banana industry, but I must tell you that these challenges are not only limited to the banana industry. As a government, we have reviewed the challenges, Madam Speaker, and we believe that there are some challenges that are the responsibility of the government. Likewise, there are some challenges that are the responsibility of the stakeholders. The aspect of drainage in our major valleys, Madam Speaker, I want to report in this Honorable House that the Minister of Finance has made provision in this year's estimate of $1 million to assist, I want to repeat, to assist with the major waterways in our major valleys. With regards to farmers' education, because we need to educate the farmers as to ways and means, Madam Speaker, they have to do things differently. And of course, the BPMU and the extension staff in the Ministry of Agriculture has developed an education program where we shall be interacting with our farmers to give them the type of technology that they would require to enable them to be able to meet these targets. We have agreed, and I want to applaud the members on the other side for establishing the irrigation systems in our major valleys. I want to applaud them for that. But, Madam Speaker, the problem we have is that the farmers have not yet taken on board the responsibility for managing these infrastructure. What I want to inform this Honorable House, we have agreed to continue to provide financial and technical support for one additional year. And during that year, we would at least inculcate a sense of responsibility with regards to these farmers and to tell them in no uncertain terms that they need to start contributing financially to the management of these irrigation systems. The aspect of farm roads, Madam Speaker, farm roads We have heard a lot about farm roads. But unfortunately, with regards to the EU funding, Madam Speaker, we are not able to assist or to rehabilitate all the farm roads in St. Lucia. What we did last year, Madam Speaker, because we knew that we would be getting a lot of requests from farmers with regards to support to their farm roads. And last year, we made an allocation of $750,000 under the Taiwanese agreement for farm roads. But unfortunately, we were not able to get that financial support last year to implement that program. I want to report in this Honorable House, Madam Speaker, that we have made some commitments with regards to support. We have actually assisted some farmers with regards to their farm roads. I would really call on the Minister of Finance to reinstitute that line item, because I realized it was left out when the final document was prepared with regards to the estimates for 2009-2010. And I would like to call on him for him to reinstitute that line item, because we're getting a lot of requests, and I think we need to assist our farmers. With regards to labor, Madam Speaker, and that is a sore point. We have two options. We look at two options. Because when we do our analysis, you know, farmers is paying on the average between $10 and $12 an hour for labor. When a guy comes to work at 8 o'clock and he leaves at 1 o'clock, and you pay between $50 and $60 a day, and not to talk about your produce going away, it's on the average between $10 to $12 an hour. So we are discussing the option, Madam Speaker, of instituting an hourly rate at the farm for farm labor, or the other one is to import labor. Because I've gotten a lot of requests with regards to this, but I'm telling you, I would prefer to see how we can organize our, because there's a situation in Grenada that we are learning from, where the Grenada government gave support and pull a local labor pool together for farmers. So I'm exploring that possibility. But labor, we need to provide, we need to see how we can assist our farmers with regards to farm labor. It's a critical situation, and a situation that I believe that if we need to develop the agricultural sector further, we need to give support with regards to this. With regards to the non-banner sector, Madam Speaker, we have seen a lot, we have accomplished a lot. But we are faced with both external threats and internal threats. The external threats, I've said in the past, we have little or no control over. And for example, the aspect of globalization and trade liberalization, the threat to the removal of preferential treatment, the threat with regards to penetration of our local markets, the threat with regards to pests and diseases, and now we talk about another one, swine flu. You have bird flu, you have mad cow, you have a number of them, Madam Speaker, who have not reached our shores. These are the threats that we are faced with. Like I said, we have little or no control over this external threat. But the internal threats, Madam Speaker, we have control over. And we need to do something about it. And we have begun doing something about it. The internal threats with regards to infrastructure that will support the development of the agriculture sector. And the question is, when we came in, we had to revisit the whole major stations we had, Union, Bosseju, and even the dairy farm. All these, I have said before, were in a state of disrepair. If we had gotten the abattoir as was promised in 1999, we would not have to seek funding for it now. If we had gotten the fisheries complex in Anslury that we had promised some 7 years ago, by now the fishermen in Anslury would be generating revenue. The solution that was involved that was promised in 1998. You know, all this infrastructure, Madam Speaker, we have to go back. We have to start afresh. We have to reestablish this infrastructure so that this will give support to the development of the agricultural sector. So, Madam Speaker, as a ministry, as a government, we have done what it takes, what is necessary to reestablish this infrastructure. My ministry, Madam Speaker, looking at the environment under which we are operating right now, and I spoke about it last year, the question of an agricultural policy, and I want to report in this Honorable House, we have developed an agricultural policy. A policy that will guide the development of the agricultural sector for the year 2009 to 2015. And that policy will be presented to Cabinet, Madam Speaker. And after Cabinet, I will have the opportunity to present this policy to this Honorable House. But this policy, Madam Speaker, will set the framework under which we'll be developing the agricultural sector further. Because we are started developing it further. And I want to compliment all the stakeholders that participated in the development of this agricultural policy, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, SFEs. Special Framework of Assistance Program. And before I move into SFAs, Madam Speaker, I'm one who compliments when I have to compliment, and also I criticize when I have to criticize. Because that's how I was brought up. I remembered that when I had the opportunity to address a gathering with regards to SFAs, I expressed my total disgust and disappointment with the way and the manner in which the National Authorizing Office were handling SFAs. At the same breath, Madam Speaker, I want to report in this Honorable House that I'm satisfied at some improvements, great improvements in the delivery of this National Authorizing Office. And I want that to be record of the House. I say thank you to them for the way and manner in which they have assisted and have been able to implement SFAs that was stuck for years. But under SFAs, Madam Speaker, we have done a lot with regards to farm roads. We had two programs on the farm roads, phase one and phase two. Under phase one, Madam Speaker, we spent some $6.09 million on farm roads. And that SFA came from SFA 1999 to 2000. And permit me, Madam Speaker, to give a little background with regards to this. Because I heard the leader of the opposition trying to explain the whole question of the SFAs with regards to the abattoir and why the abattoir is not doing so, and so on. But that money, Madam Speaker, that money was allocated to construct the abattoir. So money was allocated by the EU to construct the abattoir. The problem was that the Labour Party government could not deliver because they did not have the mechanism to be able to access this money. When I came in, Madam Speaker, I met with the delegation from the EU in Barbados, and they told me that based on the time frame, Madam Speaker, we will not be able to construct the abattoir under the SFA 2000 because the time that is remaining to implement that SFA will not be sufficient time to construct the abattoir. So what we did, based on discussion with the National Authorizing Office, and that's why I want to compliment them, is that we have to reallocate these funds to another program. Because we are going to lose these funds if we were not able to reallocate them. And that is why we saw the construction of the road that the member for Labi spoke about in his constituency. And that's why we were able to construct the road in Pwale. Now, you see, with regards to the road in Labi, Madam Speaker, if we were a government that was victimizing people, you think we would approve road in Labi when we have members on this side crying for road? You know, will we? But of course, Madam Speaker, the technical team advise us that the road in Batsplahoga is a priority road. And as a ministry, I discussed with the Ministry of Communication and we said, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it.
Honourable Member, you have 15 more minutes.
Madam Speaker, may I invoke planning order 4210 to allow the Minister from Agriculture, member for Barbados, another 60 minutes to follow this presentation.
Honourable members, the question is that standing order 3210 be invoked to allow Honourable Member for Babalo an additional 60 minutes to complete his contribution. I now put the question. As many as are of that opinion, say aye. As many as are of a contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it. Member, proceed.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Thank you very much, members. Madam Speaker, still under the question of SFAs, phase 2. Under phase 2, we had 3 lots. Lot number 1, we saw the construction of roads from Shasha to Dibawa, Koba to Lanfon, Forest Care. Lot number 2, we saw the construction of roads between Mark Deglo, Mazze, South, Mondo, and lot number 3, Rose Antones, Pauline, and Piton. So these are the roads that have been constructed with the support of SFA funding. With regards to other areas, we have done with SFA funding, Madam Speaker, the evaluation, and we have received recommendation with regards to the way forward for the agro industry, and comes into mind the question of Asia, which of course has been spoken about, and the 4-hour boxing plant which we have acquired. The other areas that we have gotten support with regards to that source of funding is the Pidjelasni program. Yes, Madam Speaker, the Pidjelasni program started and we are getting some good reviews with regards to the Pidjelasni program. And this year again, we are going to continue the Pidjelasni program. Madam Speaker, other organization that have assisted us is the Inter-American Institute for Cooperation on Agriculture, ICA. With ICA, beyond the review, we have seen the support to non-banner farmers, especially women and youth, with regards to input supplies, seeds, equipment, chemicals, and that project will continue in 2009. We have seen again the completion of the revitalization of the coconut industry, and that project was undertaken in collaboration with CADI. ITA has given support with regards to the production of planting material, especially plants like yam, dashin, senya, sweet potato, and sweet cassava. And also ongoing now is an evaluation at the CADI fuel station comparing greenhouse production and open fuel production. And we're hoping to finish that experiment by year end, so at least we would be able to assist our greenhouse farmers to capitalize on that technology, because I do believe we have gotten it right, Madam Speaker. If I can continue with ICA, ICA gave support with the assistance of the Bank of St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, and UNDP to send 7 farmers and 3 technicians to Costa Rica to learn how to construct and manage low-cost biogas digesters. And these farmers came from all over the island. And what we are going to do is to give these farmers financial and technical support so they can establish that unit, and these farms will be used as demonstration farms for farmers who are interested in wanting to go into that technology. And of course, we have heard of the support from members from NICU South with regards to the formation of 2 women groups. One in Monuco and the other in Babono. And these ladies, Madam Speaker, were exposed to the preservation processing of fruits and vegetables, and we are hoping that they can embrace it and be able to generate the type of revenue that they can make for the production of a number of value-added products. The question of fish, looking at Angers, and the case of Babono, we look at the 4-star boxing plants when that will be refurbished. And finally, with regards to ICA, we have gotten support with the government of Mexico to undertake a training program for our greenhouse farmers. So these are some of the programs that we have accomplished with the support of ICA. With regards to FAO, Madam Speaker, Food and Agriculture Organization, also we have gotten support from them. I'm sure you recall that last year I received $250,000 US from that organization to support our farmers in areas like honey production, swine production, small ruminant production, poultry production, vegetable production, and the whole aspect of fisheries. Now, Madam Speaker, let me stick a pin there. Madam Speaker, the Minister of Agriculture is not the one responsible to identify the farmers. The Minister of Agriculture is only there to set the policies and to get the financial resources. So when farmers are telling me that I didn't put them on the list with regards to support, I'm not the one identifying the farmers. The farmers are identified by the extension officers, and I make pronouncements when the programs are being implemented, and the owners and the farmers to contact the officers to see what level of support that they can get. Again, last week, I signed an agreement with FAO of the tune of $9,800 EC for a program that started this month and will end in February 2011. And that program is geared towards, Madam Speaker, measures with regards to reducing the impact on disasters with regards to our farmers. 980,000. Less than $1 million. Madam Speaker, with regards to the government of Japan, the government of Japan has given support. We have spoken about the Antelope project, which has started, the Antelope Fishes project, which has started. And also, the year under review, we got support, Mr. Speaker, from the government of Japan with regards to improvements to the pond in Suozen, the fish complex in Suozen. The unfortunate thing, Madam, Mr. Speaker, is that that situation is a situation that this government inherited. And based on discussion with the Japanese government, they have indicated that they might be reluctant and continue to give support to try and remedy the situation. So more than likely, it's either this infrastructure would be underutilized, or the government of St. Lucia would need to get the resources to do the remedial work whenever it becomes necessary. Based on my meeting with the Japanese government, they have indicated to me that they will be willing to look at other areas, Miku, for example, and Labri, with regards to infrastructure development for our fishermen. But only after we have finished the construction of the ancillary fisheries complex. Mr. Speaker, I gave a background with regards to programs and support that the ministry have received from a number of institutions. And that was deliberate. It was deliberate because the members on the other side believe that the programs that have been implemented with regards to agriculture only get support from the government of Taiwan. And that's incorrect. That's incorrect. We get support from other organizations, like I have articulated. But you see, the problem that we have is that the members of the other side have given so much publicity to Ambassador Tom Chow and the relationship between the government of St. Lucia and the government of Taiwan, that whatever programs we have with other institutions are being marginalized. But notwithstanding this, I'm happy, Madam Mr. Speaker, to report our programs with financial support from the government and people of Taiwan, because that is why we decided we are going to establish a relationship with the government of Taiwan, because we know that they are committed to the agricultural sector and other sectors. I come to grassroots for the Canary. Mr. Speaker, if you guys to Union, we have seen the completion of the tissue culture lab. And that lab will be in operation very, very soon. We have seen the construction of 8 wall tanks, and that these tanks will be used in our aquaculture program. Last year we saw the construction of 8 ocean ponds, and this year we have constructed 8 wall tanks, and we're going to start the hatchery and the office very soon. So at least by the end of this financial year, we would have realized the improvement to the infrastructure with regards to aquaculture. The orchid program, Madam Mr. Speaker, and I must say that program was taken. That orchid project that we have undertaken with the government of Taiwan, based on feedback from St. Lucia, they have embraced it. That project, we brought in 50 new varieties of orchid plants under experiment. And based on our evaluation, all these varieties perform appropriately and we can grow them in some bushes successfully. And that is why we are going to bring down a greenhouse so we can continue to propagate these orchid plants so we can sell to St. Lucian and to all those who will be interested in wanting to go in orchid production. With regards to Bosaju, we have imported 60 new breeding stock for pigs. And we have set a breeding program, Mr. Speaker, at Bosaju, and we have also decided to extend it to the Serapolis Community College Farm. And of course, with regards to Bosaju, we have constructed new pens, we renovated pens so at least we can start our breeding program, and that has been accomplished with the support of the government of Taiwan. Regarding the meat processing facility, Mr. Speaker, we had a certain ceremony. And I say, and I want to report to this Honorable House, that as a ministry and as a government, because a lot of have been said with regards to respect the parliamentarians, and I agree, we need to respect parliamentarians. And as I agreed with the member from Castries South when he made, he expressed his dissatisfaction with regards to the opening ceremony of the hospital, for the hospital. And that is why, Mr. Speaker, my ministry agreed to invite the town representative for Beaufort. Initially we thought it was Beaufort North, but afterwards we realized it was Beaufort South. But unfortunately, he never showed up. You know well? Alright, first time I'm hearing that. But we had a certain ceremony. I'm sure come next year, around this time, we'll have the official opening ceremony, and I'm hoping that he will be well. Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, you have confessed to me that you're afraid of the man, you're afraid of Mr. Myers, so you have confessed. Mr. Speaker, with regards to other roads, the farm improvement roads, we that will be an ongoing program. With regards to the agro-processing facilities, that will be an ongoing program. With regards to the giant African snail, that will be an ongoing program. With regards to the coconut industry, that will be an ongoing program. And I'm sorry that the Minister for the Parliamentary Representative for Sufa is not there. Parliamentary Representative for Sufa is not there. I'm sorry. But he wrote me a letter and I replied to him. But the problem with that Parliamentary Representative, he doesn't know his right hand from his left hand. He doesn't know his the front to the back. So, Mr. Speaker, when he wrote me asking for questions, I had to direct him to the center. But I'm sure he has never visited the Coconut Growers Association factory in Sufa. I'm sure he has never visited them. Unlike Mr. Walter Foswa. Right? Unlike, I must say, Mr. Walter Foswa used to visit that factory and give support and encouragement. But don't wait 1 week before a budget presentation writing me and say you're doing something for the factory workers after you have said that the factory was closed for 2 months. Not 1 week before. So at least you want to give the impression Mr. Speaker, that you're doing work. You're not working. Go to his factory, give support, ask how you can advise, how you can represent them, and make a representation. That's why I wanted to guide him to the center. Because he doesn't know, he doesn't know his left, right, front, and back. If he goes to the forestry department, Mr. Speaker, I just want to report quickly as to the work that I have done, what we have done with regards to the forestry department. We have re-established and realigned a number of the boundary lines in all our major range, Millet, Mark, Louvet Forestry, Edmund Forest, Woodlands, and the Denry Range. We have developed a draft wildlife management strategy plan, so at least that plan would be circulated and finalized. We have identified economic opportunities for Latanya and Morbi. And whilst you're on that, I want to report that there's a project in Pasnias, Kofiwa Brooms. In Pasnias, a very good project. Lapwet, a very good project. In the constituency, I'm a member for Miku South. No, sorry. And I believe that one of the limitations is the aspect of land. And I'm going to work along with the parliamentary representatives to see how we can get land in Lapwet, because there are lands there and there are difficulties in accessing that land. And I went there and I saw it, and I want to inform the member that I'll give all the support that I can to see to it that these individuals can get land to plan the Latanya project, to plan the Latanya plan, so at least they can continue that project. We saw support given to a number of community groups, the Tarzan Water Catchment Group, the Tamazo in your constituency, Water Catchment Group, in regards to capacity building. The Ayanora campaign that was taken to the schools, that's another accomplishment of the Forestry Department. The scientific survey with regards to deciding our population in the wild with regards to our parrot has been undertaken. And of course, the production, Mr. Speaker, where our Prime Minister was signing of a bird book. And I want to tell you, nowhere else in the region has a bird book entirely covering one island. And I want to recognize the support given to us with regards to this by the government of Taiwan. With regards to the fisheries, I must say to member for Miku South with regards to the Young Fisherman Program, I must say that I'm disappointed not seeing it being given due consideration. But of course, we speak about the question of belt tightening. But I think it's a program that needs to be continued. And as a minister, I'm going to see if we can get resources to at least continue this program this year. That is a program that needs to be continued. Especially now we have established or re-established the development bank where these young individuals can get access to funding and the type of new technology that we are trying to inculcate in the minds of these young individuals, especially the average age of our fishermen. I believe we need to continue this program. We also saw the development and the continuation of our aquaculture program, where we met a number of individuals who have established ponds. We supply them with baby fish and baby shrimps for them to continue that program. And in fact, just last week, we had the distinct pleasure of visiting one of the farms to do some sampling, because on these farms, we are also doing some experiments with regards to how we can develop some feed to feed these animals, because one of the major costs with regards to livestock, and especially the aquaculture program, is feed, the high price of feed. Incentives were given to our fishermen with regards to fishing ports. We also saw the deployment of a number of pads. And with regards to our fishermen, we saw the increase in the price of fish. Mr. Speaker, I want to report, yes, based on the observation for the member of Beaufort South, the Senusha Fish Marketing Corporation is going through some financial difficulties. But this is not the first time that they're experiencing financial difficulties, Mr. Speaker. I recall when we came in 2006, and when we had our budget presentation in 2007, the member for Beaufort South made some remarks with regards to outstanding payments to fishermen. But, like I reminded him, and a member for Castries is informing that I should summer down a bit at that time. I reminded him that the outstanding payments to fishermen was a situation that we met there. Fishermen were not paid for 4 and 5 months. The situation now, Mr. Speaker, and that is why I've always said it's not agriculture or tourism. It's agriculture and tourism. Because the tourism industry is important for the development of the agricultural sector. What is wrong is that we have a situation, Mr. Speaker, that not all the operations at the fisheries complex, both in Castries, well, especially in Beaufort, is foolproof. We got a report from the new management, and that new report is scary. It's scary. But we are going to do what is necessary, and I can guarantee that, to make the changes to make this place viable. But now we are faced with a situation where, because of low occupancy at the hotels, the stock has built up. Because around that time, Mr. Speaker, we had a situation where the fishermen were going directly to the hotels. We were going directly to the hotels because the hotels, they were buying fish. But now the hotels are not buying fish like they used to buy before. So what is going to happen is that the fishermen are now going to the fisheries complex. Especially now we have given an increase in the price of the fish. But as a government, a Caribbean government, we have approached the Bank of St. Lucia, and you're looking at a soft loan for that complex, where that money will be used to pay our fishermen, and that should be finalized and realized before the end of this week, and the fishermen would be paid. So I ask them to be a little patient with us, and then they would realize that we are doing all we can to give them support and to pay them accordingly. Mr. Speaker, the new financial year will bring many challenges for us as a government. But I'm sure, Mr. Speaker, that my ministry and this government would be ready and committed to meet these challenges. And as times called for hard action, we are going to take these tightening actions as was advised by the Minister of Finance during his presentation. Before I move on to constituency matters, I just want to express my deepest appreciation, Mr. Speaker, to all members, staff members in the Ministry of Agriculture, for the support that they have given I want to express my deepest appreciation to all the stakeholders for the support that they have given my ministry and my government. And I want to tell them that I'm looking forward in this financial year for continued support with regards to programs and the policies that we have articulated. With regards to constituency matters, Mr. Speaker, programs in my constituency have been funded by the government of Taiwan, has been funded through European assistance, and of course the government of St. Lucia. We have heard a lot about the relationship between the government of St. Lucia and the government of Taiwan. But Mr. Speaker, I ask the question, what is it that members on the other side have so many concerns about? I heard about putting money in the consolidated fund. Putting money in the consolidated fund. Now, let me say something, Mr. Speaker. I'm not one who would want to sit down here and advocate that we need to squander. I'm not one who will stand here and advocate we need to abuse. I believe we need to do things right, and we need to do things above board. But the question is, with regards to putting money in the consolidated fund, was the money for the stadium, the George Odlum Stadium, was that money put into the consolidated fund? Was the money to construct the mental hospital, was that money put in the consolidated fund? And if that money for the mental hospital was put into the consolidated fund, why is it that we could not get that money to finish the construction of that hospital? So, when we are talking about putting money in the consolidated fund, Mr. Speaker, you know what is happening? They have reason for this. They want to frustrate the process. You know and I know and they know. That there are a number of organizations, there are a number of governments would not want to deal with governments directly. They want to deal with NGOs when it comes to their resources. There are a number of them. Is the grassroots program monies put into the consolidated fund? Is it? So the question is, Mr. Speaker, what is the reasoning behind trying to force the Taiwanese government to put money into the consolidated fund? I'm agreeing that it needs to be done properly. But you cannot tell me if I'm giving you money where you want me to put it. All I have to do is to see to it that my money is utilized and utilized properly. Okay? You see, ask the question. What is the reasoning? What is the reason? You see, Mr. Speaker, as one who have worked in the agricultural sector and we have interacted with a number of farmers, and they have educated me, they tell me on a number of occasions, you have Mundo Awo, Kamiri Twaka, and Ida. But I want to tell the members on the other side that it would not cause a divorce. That marriage will not pass a divorce. The ambassador, Ambassador Tom Chu, will stay here until his government so decides that he needs to go somewhere else. So they will not cause a divorce. They will not cause any recall before the time. Because the problem is not Ambassador Tom Chu, Mr. Speaker. The problem is the relationship between the government of St. Lucia and the government of Taiwan. Because Ambassador Tom Chu, there are not, the programs will continue. It will continue. Of course, I'm agreeing they need to make changes. I agree to this. But it will continue. So, having said so, I want to say, I want to say, Mr. Speaker, that the year under review with regards to my constituency, we have accomplished a lot, and I want to look at the major accomplishments. In fact, I recall when I approached my cabinet ministers for support with regards to roads, they said, you don't have a road problem, because the guy who you visited was the Minister of Communication on roads, on all the roads in your constituency. Mr. Speaker, for the year under review, I have done work on 10 roads in my constituency. 10 roads. I'm not saying that they are at a level that I'm satisfied with, but they are more motorable. And the roads, the Lakwa Babano Road, the Barata Laundry Road, the Lakwa Prison Road, the Pebush Left and Right Road, the Monitor Balata Inner Road, the Shase Debara Road, the Koba Forester Road, the Kabish Babono Road, and the Debara School Road. These roads, all these roads, attention was given to all these roads for the year under review. Like I said, they're not at a level I'm satisfied with, but they're more measurable. They're more accessible. I'm Junior Financial Minister for Communication Works. I'm hoping that I can get some support to make them at a level that would meet the required standards. There's a lot of people making requests for roads. I had to make requests for roads too. With regards to water, we have seen the improvement of water with regards to Itel Street in Gawa, and with the support of the PRF, the Poverty Reduction Fund, we have started a project in Canel, Chasse, and that project should finish very soon. With regards to buildings, we have seen the completion, in addition to what we did last year, we have seen the completion of the Barata Mothers and Fathers Hall, and we have established member for cash disease, an IT center at the Fuasa School. So, as far as infrastructure bills are concerned, we have done these two activities for the year. With regards to organization, we have seen the formation of the Babono Youth and Sports Council, and very soon, sometime early next month, we shall see the formal swearing of the Babono Local Government Council. And I want to thank the Ministry of Local Government for the support with regards to this. Projects that I would like to implement this year, and they are going to be done. One is the construction of the much-needed larger schools. I'm getting discussion with the Minister of Education. Funding is available and construction should start this financial year to construct a new school for Lage. In fact, the Minister for Education had the opportunity to have a site visit with me at that school and other schools in my constituency, and he agrees that that school needs to be reconstructed because that school is over 45 years old. Also, I would want, of course, we have spoken about it, the resurfacing of the Alan Bousquet Highway. Because the problem that I have, Mr. Speaker, is that whenever you, and I remember my member for Cash's office, the Minister of Communication, was making that statement, that observation. Whenever you construct one road, people see the other bad road. So we resurfaced the Babono to Lapua Road right away. Pressure was on me for the Alan Bousquet Highway. I have no problem with that because that road is now used by a number of motorists from up north. This Babono Fossil Link Road is another road that we're going to take care of this financial year in addition to the Kabish Inner Road. At once under the Kurekisan to see that these roads start as soon as possible because these were roads that were promised last year, and I'm hoping that all the hurdles that we had to jump have been jumped and we'll be able to the construction of the commencement with regards to the rehabilitation of these roads early this financial year. With regards to second continuing roads, Mr. Speaker, the Monafa Road is another road that needs to be repaired. Minister of Communication Works are really the assistance with regards to this one. There are a number of persons living there, there are farmers living on using that road, and that road is not the problem situation. Of course, we have agreed that we're going to do some minor repairs to the Plateau Road, and I'm expecting that the Plateau Road would be, some care would be done to the Plateau Road. With the support of the government of Taiwan, Mr. Speaker, I'm going to construct the Bogis Health Center Road. That road has never been surfaced. I'm going to surface that road. In addition to the Loving Spencer Road, I call it Loving Spencer, and I've already named that road because she lives in that area. And I'm going to resurface that road in Kako for the people that reside there because that road has never been taken care of from the time I know myself. With regards to infrastructure, I can continue. The Babono Health Center will be upgraded to a level 4 health center. Based on discussion with PRF, right now we are going through the process of identifying we are going through the tendering process to identify a contractor. So that health center will be upgraded. I want to say with regards to the youth, I've gotten quotation from Lucy Lake with regards to lighting up at least 2 fields. If I can light up 2 fields, I will light up 1. The Bayaka field and the Lage field. So I'm going to get resources to light up at least 1, but my target is 2, Balata and Lage. So, if I can light up these fields, and at least the youth would have the pleasure to engage in sporting activities during the night. So that is the promise I want to make with regards to these fields. With regards to Ghana, Minister for Physical Development, I'm still waiting for the acquisition of land in Ghana so we can have next year, not this financial year, but next financial year, the construction of a field in Gawa, because Gawa needs a field. And also, Timon needs a court. So these are some of the major projects that I am looking at with regards to infrastructure development. Of course, notwithstanding that I've had discussion with the chairperson for HUDC, and he has promised me that the concerns with regards to the residents of Union Terrace would be taken care of. So I'm hoping that during the course of this financial year, the concern with regards to a plain area, the concerns with regards to the improvement of the roads, the concerns with regards to the internal drainage at Union Terrace would be taken care of. Mr. Speaker, these are some of the major projects, like I said, I would want to implement this financial year. And of course, next financial year, there will be more projects that I would want to implement. Because in the final analysis, the people of Babuno put me there to work. And I'm going to work. And I'm not afraid of anyone coming around. I'm not afraid of anyone. I'm not afraid of anyone coming around. I'm going to work. And in final analysis, the people should so decide whether they want me for another term or not. You understand? So, while the members were openly admitting that they are afraid. Now, I'm advising them, you should not be afraid, just work. Just work. You have to be afraid. But you know what goes around comes around. The same technique he used is coming back to haunt him. So that's why you're afraid. But I've heard a number of names, Mr. Speaker. I've heard a number of names. They don't know who to choose as yet. I've heard a number of names. There's one Virgin Atlantic Progress. You know? I mean, another George Hello. You know? A number of names. But I'm waiting for the Virgin Atlantic Progress to land. But in the speaker, in the interest of time, I want to thank you very much. In the interest of time, I want to thank members of this parliament for the support they have given me, and of course my cabinet ministers for the support they have given me, and of course for the patience and the understanding of my constituents, and all those friendly governments who have supported my programs in my constituency, Ambassador Som Chu and his government, the EU, and the government of St. Lucia. I want to thank you very much. And as long as God gives me the health and strength, I'll continue to work. I'll continue to engage in progress and development of my constituency. And I'm sure that the target of 15 years will be accomplished. And when I leave this house, I'll leave this house being on this side and not on the other side. Thank you very much.